Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Senior Editor Kelly Davio. For stakeholders in the U.S. biosimilars market, the past few months have been exciting times. We've seen multiple product approvals and the launch of a number of highly anticipated and long-awaited biosimilar products. With us on the podcast today to talk about these developments is Sean McGowan, Senior Director of Biosimilars at AmerisourceBergen. He's responsible for leading strategy and business development initiatives for the biosimilars product category, and he partners with biosimilar manufacturers in the pre-commercial, launch, and post-launch phases. He also leads internal collaboration with customer groups to guarantee open access to biosimilars. He spoke with us about the recent biosimilar launches in the United States, what the U.S. biosimilars market needs now in order to thrive, and developments ahead in 2020. Sean, thank you for joining us for this episode of Not So Different.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, in recent weeks, we've seen several biosimilars launch in the U.S. We had Truxima and ZXTenzo, and just last week we had Ogivri. What have we seen so far in terms of the market's response to these products?
No, it's a great question. I think the overall market, our customers and AmerisourceBergen as a wholesaler, I think there is generally great excitement around the recent launch of these products. It's been an exciting end to 2019 with the number of launches that we've had across this calendar year, and then as we look towards 2020, I think the launch of these three products indicates that there is more choice and access for providers, customers, and most importantly, patients.
So when we think about two of those products, Truxima and ZXTenzo, they're of course very different products therapeutically, but their developers have also taken markedly different approaches to pricing those drugs to launch. How much can we read into the list price discounts that we are seeing for those two products?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think from a pricing perspective, we have to keep in mind that as you stated, these are two very different markets that these products are competing in. Let's take a look at Truxima first from Teva, right? And so keep in mind that this is the first biosimilar that is launching that is referencing Genentech's Rituxan, right? And so they took a very, I think, a moderate discount on their list price compared to what we've seen in previous biosimilar launches. And then we understand that Pfizer's Ruxience is going to be coming along, in the early part of 2020. So, a much different market than that of the Neulasta pegfilgrastim market, with ZXTenzo being the third biosimilar market to launch, referencing Neulasta. So, you can kind of see how these markets are evolving and how what position these biosimilars are entering at, and their pricing strategies, how they're going to differ from that perspective.
So in the coming days, we're going to be seeing the launches of at least three more biosimilars. Pfizer has indicated that Zirabev will be coming by the end of December, Ruxience, as you mentioned, in January, and Trazimera in February. How do you expect those three product launches to impact the market in the U.S.?
Yeah, so it's a great point. I think it's going to be a very busy start to 2020 after we've had a very busy close to 2019. If you look at the kind of calendar and from October 2019 through February 2020, we'll have six biosimilar products that have launched in that time period, which I think historically has been a very a very busy time period, if you can kind of compare it to the last four or so years for the biosimilar market. So one, I think it's really exciting. Two, we specifically look at Pfizer and their three products that they're going to launch, right? This only is going to bring more competition to the marketplace, which again expands choice and access for patients and customers alike, which is a great thing. You have a company in Pfizer that is going to be the only manufacturer to have the Avastin, Herceptin, and Rituxan biosimilars in their portfolio. So that kind of creates an interesting dynamic as far as kind of how competition is concerned. And without saying, you know, for certainty, but I believe the broader market is expanding or is expecting, with this increased competition coming to the market that will help to create kind of serious potential for the pricing of these products to come down, and which really kind of leads into the whole value proposition of the biosimilar platform. I also think it signals to the market that the biosimilar market and the products are, it is a robust and growing market, and that that leading manufacturers continue to invest in their biosimilar platform and with the approvals, and then eventually commercializing these products, which is again a really great thing for providers, customers, as well as patients.
So the U.S. market for biosimilars has had, by most measures, a pretty slow start, but it does appear that things are beginning to speed up. So what needs to happen now for the U.S. biosimilars market to really increase competition and see those substantial savings that we've been promised?
Yeah, I think, it's an interesting statement around, the biosimilar market having a slow start, which I would agree with. But, and I think we all kind of default to comparing to, the European market and obviously how, the 40, the 60 plus approved products and the 40 plus launch products in the European market, and how quickly they've gone on to adopt biosimilars into their care pathways. Obviously we're operating in a much different market here, given, what's happening, what innovator companies are doing to protect their innovator products, kind of through their patent litigations and other commercial strategies, to kind of maintain the market share for their products. But as a leader and a partner in helping biosimilar manufacturers commercialize their products, AmerisourceBergen, as a wholesaler, is committed to creating a sustainable and competitive market for biosimilars. I think we absolutely recognize that there needs to be additional policy and legislation that is going to help and advance and create a level playing field for biosimilar products in order for them to compete against these innovator products. I know that you've had many previous guests on this podcast that have gone into great detail around the different kind of policy and legislative considerations that need to be taken into account, from reimbursement or $0 copays for patients, or how the payer community needs to start adopting biosimilars at a much faster rate, not disadvantaging biosimilars. So I think there's a lot that needs to go on here. There's another component here that I want to talk about that I think is going to help increase competition, and it's something that I think everybody across the healthcare spectrum continues to kind of call out, and that really is around the education around biosimilars and increasing kind of increasing the knowledge about biosimilars, and this is something that we hear from our oncology practices, and we hear from our larger IDN hospital health system customers, that there's a pretty substantial knowledge gap about biosimilars, and that's something as a leading partner and wholesaler that we're committed to in helping to advance the knowledge and education around these products and kind of close that knowledge gap. I think manufacturers do a really great job about talking about the value proposition that biosimilars do bring to the marketplace, about the clinical efficacy and safety, definitely about the economics advantages that biosimilar products can bring. But I think there needs to be a continued effort to kind of expand that knowledge around, what are manufacturers doing? How much kind of time and resources are they investing in to developing these products? Helping for customers and patients to understand the different pathway and how these products are approved by the FDA, which obviously differs from that of the innovator product, and then all the way to kind of what does it mean to be a biosimilar product, right? And kind of all the way through and to be able to kind of demonstrate the clinical data around the safety and efficacy and how these products are extremely similar to the innovator product, and that we are seeing similar outcomes, and successes with these products. And then on top of that, as I think the market continues to mature and expand, starting to understand what the real savings are in the marketplace, not only for these large entities, these large hospital health system and integrated delivery networks, but for payers, for the oncology practices, for rheumatology practices, and kind of other specialty practices that that engage and use biosimilars. I don't think the education around these products stops. I think it needs to continue to expand, and it's really incumbent upon the manufacturers and us as wholesalers and customers to continue kind of to push the message and the education around these products.
So in addition to all of the launches that are coming up next year, what are some developments in biosimilars that you are going to be watching closely in 2020?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, as I think about kind of 2018 and into 2019, right, kind of 2018 and 2019 were really kind of the years of innovation and launches. As we look forward into 2020, I think, the recent piece around the insulin biologics and how they're going to start to follow the biosimilar pathway for approval is a really exciting development. So that's something that we're going to be following very closely. Going back to one of your previous questions around Pfizer's upcoming launches, that's kind of a big deal for the biosimilar market to have one manufacturer launch three biosimilar products pretty much in, call it almost a 2 month span, right? So that's going to be kind of a quick start to the year. And then as I look forward into 2020, the other big thing that I'm going to be looking at and following is how the current biosimilar markets continue to evolve from a competition standpoint. You're going to have two biosimilar markets, one being the Neulasta market and the next being the Herceptin market that will have three biosimilar products plus the innovator product, right? So we're starting to see we're going to have the most competitive biosimilar markets that we've had to date. Historically, we've in the filgrastim market and the infliximab market, we've only had two biosimilars that have launched referencing the innovator product, right? And so those are the most competitive markets. Now all of a sudden we'll have three. And by the looks of it, by the end of 2020, the Herceptin market could have up to five biosimilar markets or have five biosimilar products launched in that market. So that will be, an ultra competitive market. So starting to see how these markets mature and how having, three or more biosimilars referencing a single innovator product, is going to be very interesting and is something that we're going to be following very closely as a commercialization partner to understand how the manufacturers kind of take their approach, kind of how, pricing is impacted, how access is increased, how choice is increased. So it's going to be a very exciting year for the biosimilar market.
Well, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I think for a lot of folks out there, that are less familiar with the wholesalers and what we do, our goal at AmerisourceBergen is to support accessibility and affordability for all products. We serve pretty much every site of care that a product can be dispensed or administered in. From an oncology clinic to a rheumatology clinic to a hospital or health system or integrated delivery network to a retail pharmacy or community-owned pharmacy. So we have partners on all sides of the marketplace that we serve, and our main goal is to create as much access as possible for all products, not just biosimilars. I think to your last question, it's going to be a real pivotal year for the biosimilar market, and as we see more entrants come into the marketplace, we're going to see increased competition, and it's going to be a very interesting and telling year as far as biosimilar growth is concerned. I think back to one of your other previous questions, in order to achieve a competitive, viable biosimilar market, we really need to work with kind of all partners and stakeholders across the healthcare spectrum to help create an even playing field for biosimilars. So working with the manufacturer partners, working with our downstream customers to ensuring that they're having access and they understand what these products are, to the policymakers and those that are passing legislation at the state and the national level, that they really understand what the value proposition for these products and why there needs to be a level playing field. And we also understand that the unique products and the commercialization strategies, what's needed for a successful launch, not only for biosimilars, but for all products. And I think that's one of the things that we do best as a wholesale partner with our manufacturers is to help them get the most out of their pre-launch activities and as they commercialize products and these products kind of grow and kind of go through their life cycle. It's something that we're very proud of and that we do really well with all our manufacturer partners. So it's a real honor and privilege to be able to work with these manufacturers day in and day out and to bring innovative cost-saving therapies to our providers and our customers, and most importantly our patients.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Not So Different. If you'd like to read more about any of the product launches mentioned in this episode, visit our show notes. Remember, if you like the podcast, you can rate us at iTunes. Until next time, find us at centerforbiosimilars.com.